Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome to the real world. She said to me condescendingly, take a seat, take your life. Plot it out in black and white. Well, I never lived the dream of the prom kings and the drama queens. I'd like to think the best of me is still hiding up my sleeve. But I love to tell you, stay inside the lines.
John Mayer. Your artist of the day. Good afternoon, everybody. It's good to be with you.
Hi.
Hello.
Well, I hate to start out this day ticking everyone off, but you aren't on Twitter.
So I am not.
You did not see Twitter's collective head explode today over the news that our beloved Patrick Mahomes was ranked fourth in the NFL top 100 list a year ago. And when the list came out again today, he was ranked fourth.
Here, let me give you this number off the air.
Please explain to me how in God's name he was ranked fourth a year ago. And then as we all woke up today, he was ranked fourth. And when I say Twitter exploded, I don't mean Kansas City Twitter. National sports people in very high places are, quote, dumbfounded at the slight. And let me tell you why this happened. It's because we are in the middle of the country and people just can't stand it.
Oh, my word.
That Kansas City has done something amazing. They can't stand it. They can't even help themselves. I haven't even heard of the other people that are ahead of him, nor do I care.
You never heard of DeSean Jackson?
Don't care.
Okay.
That's right, folks. Leading your team to Super Bowl victory after a 50-year drought and becoming the MVP did not move the needle among his peers. In fact, his peers believe there are three better NFL players after all of the incredible things Mahomes has accomplished in one season alone. Coming in at number three, ahead of our quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, is Rams DT Aaron Donald. Who's that?
Okay.
Number two, Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson.
Never heard of him?
Never heard of him.
Are you serious?
Number one, Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I think you meant Lamar, not DeSean.
I'm sorry.
The reactions on Twitter coming from the entire spectrum of observers, fans, and experts agreed having Mahomes ranked fourth is a big mistake.
You've never heard of Russell Wilson? He may or may not have won a Super Bowl.
I don't know. So did we.
Okay.
From NFL draft scout Matt Miller, no player in the NFL is better than Patrick Mahomes. But here's what's funny, because Bob Fesco was all over this. Did you see Mahomes' response, Sam?
I did not know.
It's a pencil on a notepad.
Oh, yeah. Taking notes. I did see that.
That's all. He didn't say a word. He just tweeted a photo of a picture of a pencil on a notepad.
Please leave your message for...
So he's on a Chiefs call till 3?
Is it with Patrick Mahomes? Will he call in?
What are you talking about?
From CBS Sports, Scott. And somehow voted just fourth on the NFL top 100 list? That's from CBS Sports that went on to tweet Patrick Mahomes' resume before turning the age of 25.
Yeah. He's a Hall of Famer. Already. He could retire this year and still be a Hall of Famer. He's only played three years.
So did you say that Lamar Jackson ranked higher?
He was number one. Lamar Jackson's one. Win. Seahawks guy is two. Rams guy I've never heard of is three.
Seahawks guy.
And then there's Patrick Mahomes at number four.
That would be Russell Wilson.
I don't care. Sam, I don't care. This is
Seahawks
a dark
guy.
Day in our city. You know I'm right. It's because we're not in Seattle, or we're not wherever the Ravens are. We're not wherever the Rams are.
Where are the Ravens?
I don't know. Baltimore?
Yes.
So there's your East Coast jerk face jerks voting for them. Rams. I'm going to go with California.
Somewhere.
See? They hate us too. This is geographical.
Where are the Rams?
Los Angeles.
That is correct.
This is geographical
bias?
Yes.
I'm going to give you the mascot, and I want you to tell me where the team is located.
What does this have to do with the slight that we have been handed? The collective.
It has nothing to do with it.
I just want to make fun from the NFL.
I just want to make fun of you.
Okay. It appears to be a quiz to see if you know what you're talking about when it comes to sports.
Well, I know where Patrick Mahomes should be, and it ain't number four.
Okay. Already know the answer.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay. Jaguars.
Jacksonville.
Okay. Panthers.
Carolina.
Correct. Bills.
Buffalo.
Very good. Jets.
New York.
Giants.
San Francisco. New York.
If we were talking MLB, you would have been correct with
well, they
San Francisco.
Share a name. Pick one.
Broncos.
Denver.
Texans.
Houston.
Cowboys.
Dallas.
Steelers.
Pittsburgh.
Eagles.
Philadelphia. Boom!
Jeez.
Wow. You did say San Francisco Giants, which is a different sport.
Raiders.
Los Angeles.
Mm-mm.
Nevada. Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like them.
Mm-mm. San Antonio.
Spurs.
Don't have a team.
What?
Yes, they do.
St. Louis.
Cardinals.
Duh.
And we're back to the MLB.
Falcons.
Atlanta.
Okay. Tampa.
Bay. Buccaneers.
Okay.
Sounds like a word association game.
It's a really screwed up Rorschach test of awful sports knowledge is what this is.
Tampa.
What's the
Bay.
First thing that comes into your mind when you hear Tampa? Bay?
Minnesota.
Twins.
Oh
my gosh.
Vikings.
Yes.
Mm.
Chicago.
Bulls.
Oh God.
Bears.
Okay.
Beats Battlestar Galactica.
Portland.
Oregon.
Okay.
Did you know that there is a story in the stack today that's going to make your head explode that they are floating the idea of changing the Minnesota Twins logo?
Why?
I didn't want to make you mad right out of the gate.
Can you save it?
Yes. Give me one more.
Sacramento.
California.
Okay.
Miami.
Dolphins.
Hey! Woohoo!
Washington.
Football team.
Redskins.
No.
The Washington football team.
That is correct.
That is right.
That is correct.
That's
right.
They are
the Washington football team.
That's right.
New England.
Patriots.
Yes. Cleveland.
Or Indians.
Oh.
Wrong sport again.
We're talking football. Cleveland.
Browns.
Cincinnati.
Ohio.
No. There must be some misunderstanding. There must be some kind of mistake. Welcome back. Genesis. On this Thursday afternoon, hello, welcome.
You know, from time to time, colleges, professional sports franchises will update their logo. I mean, look at all of the different Jayhawks there have been over the years.
Sure.
You know,
there's the angry Jayhawk.
Yeah.
The goofy looking Jayhawk.
Yeah.
Now you got the smiling Jayhawk.
You went from the goofy, happy wildcat that kind of looked like a Tom and Jerry character to the power cat. And apparently in Minnesota, the Twins logo has been around since the team's inception in 1960. Okay.
Which is a T and a C.
It is. And it's, they're actually have names. It's Minnie and something. I'll look it up. It's,
oh, I've never seen that before.
Yeah. It's two twins shaking hands.
Minnie and Paul.
Minnie and Paul are their names.
Get
okay.
It? Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Oh, yeah. That's what
we
the SP
are
is for.
It today.
Yeah, we're killing it. Okay. So it's Minnie on the left shaking hands with STP on the right. And, you know, they're shaking hands, and then the other guy has his hand around the other guy's back as if to pat his back, like a bro hug. Okay. So a Minneapolis dermatologist is asking for a slight tweak to the logo to bring more racial sensitivity to Minnie and Paul. And here's what he wrote. Dr. Charles Crutchfield, a longtime Twins fan, went to his Facebook page and said, "The Twins have been with us since 1961. The logo was probably created in 1960. I was thinking it might be time for an updated logo to refresh the Twins logo to reflect our current times, players, and culture. The Twins are a fantastic and receptive organization, and what I would love to present the results for consideration." So here's the tweak. And there's a river running in between the two, quote, twins. And he says, "I simply wanted a respectful yet subtle, significant update to the logo that honors and reflects the team, the fans, and the players of all different backgrounds. So instead of a white Minnie and a white Paul, he has taken Minnie on the left and made Minnie a darker skin tone, a person
of
color."
He's made Paul darker.
Yeah, there are a couple of them, but yes. And
then they wouldn't be twins.
He said, well, I think it's, they're symbolic twins because of the twin cities.
Hmm.
They don't really have to be twins. It's Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Twins.
Yeah, but I don't think it actually means twins, like they had to shoot out of the same womb.
Then how would they be twins?
I think it's a great idea. Why not?
I think it's stupid.
He says 97% of Twins fans voted for the update. Now, I don't know if this was just on his private page or what. But the logo does look like it was created way, 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 way back. And so here's the original logo on the right, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
The updated logo on the left is just a darker blue behind the Twins baseball. That's it. That's the only update it's ever had.
The player is dark.
Well, but what he's saying is that logo has not been updated since 1960.
I understand, but what the player is
yeah,
black
or Puerto Rican or I say why not?
I say it's dumb.
Why?
Because I think we're trying too hard.
Okay.
I really do. I think we're just trying so hard to make everybody happy. And first of all, nobody ever associates any of that stuff with the Minnesota Twins. I've never seen that in my life. I'm 49 years old.
Well, if you live there, you probably do.
You probably haven't.
I will give you this. I was more familiar with the baseball logo, you know, the blue, red, and white baseball logo.
And the TNC.
Because that's what you see on their uniform right. And on the signage and stuff. It doesn't bother me at all.
I've been a baseball fan all my life. I've never seen Paul and Minnie shaking hands. I don't even know where that comes from. I think this is a problem looking for a solution.
Virtue signaling.
Is that what it's called? Virtue signaling?
Some have called it that.
What does that mean?
We support good things.
I do support good things.
I support good things.
No, but I mean making the change, even though it wasn't really a problem, just to say that you support these things.
So yeah. I've never seen Minnie and Paul in my life.
All right.
I said when this whole thing started, it's about to get ridiculous. And I'm not saying that there aren't some changes that we need to make. I'm all for, listen, and I wasn't before, but I am now, because I can be persuaded and I can be changed. I was born in Fort Benning, Georgia. I am okay with them changing the name of Fort Benning, Georgia, and Fort Hood, Texas, where I spent 7 years of my life. I'm okay with that. I think these things need to be changed. I'm okay with taking down statues that commemorate traitors to the United States. I wasn't before, but I was wrong. And I'm okay with admitting that I was wrong. Now, I've also always said, where does it stop? Do we change the name of every street named after a Confederate general? Lee Boulevard? Benning Road? I don't know. I don't know.
I think Lee Boulevard is not necessarily what you think it is.
I bet in Alabama it is.
But it is spelled L-E-E.
I'll look it up.
I'm not talking about Lee Boulevard in Lee Wood.
Oh.
I'm talking about Lee Boulevard in, say, you know, Mobile,
yeah.
Alabama.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you know, Birmingham, Alabama, or somewhere. Do we change those things? Let's have that discussion.
But you're saying leave the Twins alone.
I think you're looking for a problem that's not there. I really do. I think you're looking for a problem that just is not there. 576-7798, Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Wright. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat me a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. Peaches come from a can, they were put there.
All right, welcome back. Story here from the Kansas City Star. A former Kansas City Public Schools employee accused of tampering with district attendance data is suing the district, claiming retaliation, wrongful termination, and race and sex discrimination.
You knew this was coming.
LaQuinn Collier says in a lawsuit filed recently in Jackson County Circuit Court that Kansas City Public School administrators retaliated against her and in December fired her after she told investigators that the practice of faking student attendance records was district-wide and initiated by district leaders at the time.
And linked to the superintendent's bonus at the time, I will remind you.
Collier is the third former KCPS employee implicated in the attendance fraud case to sue the district. Collier, who is black, I don't know why that matters, but they wrote it in here, claims in her suit that while she and another employee accused of inflating attendance were fired in 2019, another employee who is white.
That's why it matters.
Okay. Who was also linked to the fraud was allowed to retain her job.
They fired the two black women accused of falsifying the data at the behest, by the way, of the leadership, and allegedly kept the white worker accused of the same behavior. And remember when this story broke, Scott, we said there had to have been a lot of people involved, that this wasn't going to be one person.
This was a conspiracy.
Yeah, on their own, quietly changing attendance records so that they could look better statewide, not only throughout the state, but so that the
district
alleged superintendent at the time could retain the bonus, which I believe was up to $100,000, was it not?
I believe that's correct.
Tied to attendance.
The superintendent at the time was Stephen Green.
Yes, who then went on to Atlanta and I believe is no longer the superintendent there.
I believe that's
because
correct.
He got down there and then this controversy exploded here. And I have said from the beginning, number one, none of the low-level employees that were ordered to do this should have lost their jobs, number one.
Mm.
Nope. Number two, they will, because one of them is a whistleblower, they will win this lawsuit, Scott. They should win this lawsuit. And number three, Stephen Green should have to give every dime of that money back.
Your whistleblower was Sam Johnson.
Okay.
He blew the whistle on the attendance fraud, sued the district in April, claiming he was forced out of his job because he refused to falsify the attendance data.
So here's the deal. The people who refused to do it were fired. The people who did it and got caught were fired, except allegedly this one white woman. They're going to win this lawsuit all day long, because when your boss says to you, you are going to take that number 9 and change it to an 8, you're going to do it, aren't you, Scott?
No.
I don't think any of these people thought they were breaking federal law when they did this, or at least state law.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
When you're falsifying data so that your boss can get a $100,000 bonus, allegedly.
If this was a secretary in the district office, no, I do not. I think they knew it was wrong. But do I think they knew it was potentially illegal? I doubt it very much.
Falsifying data so your boss can get a $100,000 bonus.
What would the incentive be for any low-level district employee, a numbers pusher? What would the incentive be other than loss of job?
Keep your job.
The only incentive is to keep your job. So the balance of power at that point is so out of whack when your only incentive to do this is to keep your job and your boss is telling you you have to do this. I don't think any of the low-level employees should be in trouble for this.
Now, I'm with you on Stephen Green having to pay back every bonus he ever received. Now, he will not.
Oh, you know they're never getting that money back.
No, no.
He is long gone.
That money is already spent. But he should have to pay back. The district should sue the former superintendent, Stephen Green.
The same district who allegedly falsified the data? I mean, whole thing is just such a mess.
But the district didn't falsify the data. His executive office falsified the data, allegedly. But he, if it's true that he was the one who told all these women, hey, these kids were in class, remember? He should have to pay back. And the district should sue Stephen Green.
And what he's going to say is, I didn't have anything to do. I didn't know that. I mean, show me the proof that I directly told them to do this.
Well, you know what? I bet there are about 3 or 4 women who will go on the stand and say that he did.
Yeah.
And it's their word against his, and I bet their word stands. And then he should have to pay back the district. But I'm telling you, I've been in this town for 32 years. 33 years. I say this with a little bit of trepidation. The Kansas City, Missouri school district needs to be broken up.
How?
I don't know. It needs to be absorbed by all the surrounding districts. It is a disaster. And everybody knows that I'm right. How many years do we have to sit here and go through God knows how many superintendents, God knows how many controversies?
It's never, though, the rank and file, Scott. There are teachers who are going into those schools every single day to make this city better, to make the school district better.
I don't dispute that.
Now, do changes need to be made again at the top? Yeah.
Dana,
we're at number, 36 and 38 years, Dana, or something crazy?
We've been making changes at the top for years.
I know.
It's not working.
The numbers are embarrassing.
It is time to break up the Kansas City, Missouri School District.
They have had more superintendents than Channel 5 has had morning news anchors.
I've worn underwear more time than they've had superintendents.
It's bad. I'll look it up. It's like 36 in 38 years, or 35 in 36. It's something.
It's bad.
It's bad.
Well, they can't keep principals either.
And I know nobody wants to accept them.
But I don't think you can just say, we're going to splinter a district because there's been another controversy.
Dana, it's every year. Every year.
Is the bigger issue not, Scott, why they were ever in a position to need to falsify the data? Flip it around and look at it that way. They shouldn't have even been in the position to have to falsify the data.
Well, but they did.
If the attendance numbers were where they should be. And so then you ask, why are the kids not coming? What's going on there?
That all starts at home.
Yes.
And you know I'm right.
Yes.
Mom and dad, or mom, they just don't care.
Well, I think that's painting with a broad brush, but...
Is it?
You can't force someone to make their child go to school. If that's what you're asking, no. You cannot force...
What if your kid didn't go to school?
Oh my gosh. You get a call. You get an email. You get another call. You get another email.
No, how would you react is what he's asking.
Thank you, sir.
They track you down. Because the butts in the seats are tied to the money. So the butts have to be in the seats to get the money.
If you found out that Willem was not going to school.
We would know that day.
What would you do?
Well, I'd want to know why.
Dana.
Would you say, oh, okay, you don't have to go tomorrow either. That's fine.
No, of course not.
What would you do?
Well, they don't have a choice. They have to go to school. That's just part of the deal.
Exactly my point.
I put a roof over your head, you go to school.
Exactly my point.
There are families in Kansas City, Missouri that don't have that rule.
But also don't have, Sam, transportation and resources. And I mean, anytime we start talking about the school, you want to make this simple. Like, let's just blow the whole thing up. Well, or just make your kid go to school. It is so much more complicated than that.
It really isn't.
No, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Get your ass to school, kid.
How?
Get your ass to school.
Oh, God. I want to live in your world where that's the answer here.
Okay. It is exactly what happens in your world. If Willem was not going to school, you would force him to go to school. It's not that I live in some cherry-picked world with rose-colored glasses. Get your ass to school.
Dana, when you lived on the wrong side of the tracks in Topeka, did you still go to school?
We did, and my dad, and we had one car, and it was a turd.
Why did you go to school? Why did you go to school?
Because they got up early, they dropped all of us.
They forced you to go to school.
Yes, they got up early, and they drove us all the way across town.
Boom.
To the other side of the tracks.
Boom. Scott is disgusting. Cannot relate. Thank goodness for Dana. She understands. Okay. That's fine.
I don't understand. I understand that it is much more complicated than you would have people believe.
It's really not.
Yes, it is.
You force... If
how?
You, if you,
how?
Ha,
yes.
How?
How do you force someone to get their kid to school, Scott?
Go to school.
Okay. Okay. You are crazy. You literally have lost your mind.
It comes down to discipline. Discipline your child.
Okay. I am a single mom. I am working three jobs. I have no car.
Okay.
How do I get my kid to school?
You bus him.
What bus line? I don't live near the bus line.
The school bus will come to your house.
Scott, I'm telling you, you want to make this black and white, literally and figuratively, and it's not.
Well, not literally. I don't want to make it black and white.
It's just not. You know, I did a story years ago on the plight of homeless kids all over the district.
I'm not talking about homeless kids.
Let me just tell you something, okay? For those kids to get to school, they're homeschool because they couch surf. You know, they're not living under a bridge. They're at their aunt's one week in Independence, and then maybe they're at a grandma's, and then maybe they're at a friend's house. For those kids to get to school, they were getting up, Scott, at 5:30 in the morning, getting in a taxi or an Uber that ride shared with six or seven other homeless kids. By the time they all got dropped off at the end of the night, it was 7 p.m. and almost dark out. And that is the reality of some families where they actually have roadblocks to physically even getting to school.
What you're doing is excusing the poor behavior of bad parents.
Sometimes it's not poor behavior, Scott. It's just they're worried about things that you should thank God every day you don't worry about.
Okay.
Like putting food on the table.
Okay.
Like gunfire, you know, clothing, necessities. Now, is some of it just bad decision-making? Yes. Is all of it? Absolutely not.
Okay. 576-7798, Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. It's
raining. Like
I'm Scott. Yeah, it is raining out there. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Sam Hill.
But I guess that's why they say every rose has its thorn. Just like every night has its dawn. Just like every cowboy sings a sad song. Every rose has its thorn.
It does. 1988. Their only number one hit. Poison. Here on Dana and Parks. Ryan in Lawrence. Hello, Ryan.
Welcome. Hi, Ryan.
Hey guys, love you, love the show. How are you doing?
However.
No, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Ryan. Thank you for asking.
Okay, first of all, I grew up in a very traditional family, Army family, like you, Scott. And I believed then, as I do now, in the traditional sense of family. In that sense, I took my education very seriously. Now, the fact is, when we were growing up, Dana, you were there too, we were growing up, school was totally different. We
yes.
went to the classroom, we had it to where we had a teacher in front of us, we had about 20 other kids with us in that class. But I've got to tell you, Scott, I also side with Dana, though, in that things have changed. I have a nephew who just graduated from high school during this COVID crisis. And I also had a friend who just graduated from KU during this crisis. And things are not quite the same. And it's become a little more complicated, just like I am.
I agree, Ryan. It's a different world. For these kids, I would say for the kids in the last 10, 20 years, it's a completely different experience than even we had back in our day. The expectations are different. The class sizes are bigger.
Are they?
There's bullying, social media. It's just, I would not want to be a kid today. As much as I didn't necessarily love my high school experience, I would never want to be a kid today.
Because of social media?
I'll take the 70s and the 80s all day long.
Really?
Yep.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because it was easier, I feel like. It was simpler.
Hmm.
We didn't have mass shootings. It was just true. Simpler.
Emily in Blue Springs. Hello, Emily.
Hi, how are you guys doing? We're the show.
Thank you. It's yours.
Absolutely. And Dana, congratulations on your third hole-in-one.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
What about her being named best radio personality in Kansas City?
Well, there was that, but...
Well, you know, congratulations on that and the show. You guys are amazing. I love listening to it.
You are so kind.
You're my honorary person, too. How's that?
You are truly kind. Thank you, Emily.
Absolutely. Well, hey, okay, a couple of things. One, I'm a teacher. And so, Scott, I 100% understand where you're coming from. When I was... I'm in my 40s, and so growing up, it was way different than what it is now. I've been teaching for... This is my 20th year. You know, I went from, I've got 30 kids in the classroom. And if we had, like I said, middle school, if there's a teacher on my team that can't come in, they can't get a sub, they don't have somebody to cover it. So what they do is they split that class up each hour. And so then I go to have 40, 45 kids in a class. And so they're going to be sitting on the floor because I don't have enough desks. So then when we talk about kids not coming to school, well, we look at all the behavior issues that we have. We don't always have support from, you know, other people in our school or parents and, you know, the behavior issues that we deal with. And then you've got kids that are like, forget this. I don't want to come to school. I'm not going to go to school. Well, parents are super different than when I was a kid. If I was sick and couldn't go to school or whatever, my mom's like, all right, here's your list of stuff that's going to be done before I get back. I want the house vacuumed. I want the dishes done. You're not going to just lay on the sofa and watch Price is Right all day. And so, you know, I worked at a school where kids, and it was middle school, didn't want to come to school. So we had the police officers, the school resource officer, and the principals going to the house to pick up the kids. Big holes in the walls because the kids have tried to hit the parents and you're not making me go to school and all this kind of stuff. So it's, I would love to say, man, teachers must not be making it fun for kids to not want to go to school. But I promise you, I'm up there dancing on my desk, doing anything I can to get my kids excited to want to be there. But there are so many other pieces of the puzzle that we don't always have as educators and as a teacher to help. And we've got to have parents helping out and helping us to get the kids there too.
Yeah.
Because I mean, before school starts, we will call every single one of our students. And I can guarantee that there's a ton of teachers that will do that. They'll send a postcard. They're going to write a letter. They're going to send an email, but they're going to make a phone call welcoming their kids. And we're not talking just elementary. We're talking, I'm going to have 160 kids this year. And so I will call all of those kids before school and within the first week of school and those parents, welcoming them, trying to get that relationship built so that way kids feel my investment in them and want to come.
Emily, thank you for what it is you do. Truly. Truly.
Do appreciate the call.
Update to a story we brought you yesterday. Buck O'Neill's cutout is now sitting in the Buck O'Neill seat.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
I saw it on Toby Cook's timeline this morning. It is as it should be.
News is next. Dana Wright, Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.